Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In this town, there's no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Ryder.
It is the special post-game edition of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. The Browns lose to the Bengals 24-6, and the season of self-destruction rolls on. We should get t-shirts that say that. Season of self-destruction. You put all the cities that they played in, but you can't put the one win on the road. So, Daryl, your immediate reaction to today's game.
Yeah, I guess we got to come up with we can't say season of misery because we got like 20 others to pick from.
Yeah, this self-destruction.
So, I think we learned all we needed to know about Dorian Thompson-Robinson as a quarterback. Going up against one of the worst pass defenses in the league, he can't see squat down the field. Zero net passing yards at halftime. That's hard to do, but he managed to do it. And then rallied the troops, though, in the second half to finish the day throwing for 157 yards. The Browns credited with 125 net passing yards. So two more of these to go. Can't wait.
Daryl, is there a stat in the NFL for most interceptions in an end zone? Because I got to believe the Browns are close. They got to be close to breaking some kind of record.
Yeah, I mean, they now have 30 turnovers this season. Here's the thing. You're sitting there saying, man, that's a lot. You realize they had 37 turnovers last season?
Yeah, it makes sense. They had Joe Flacco.
So.
And they had Deshaun Watson. Who are you kidding?
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
I mean, it's just, it's bad. And they just keep shooting themselves in the foot, whether it's turnovers, whether it's penalties, whether it doesn't matter what they do. They can't really seem to do much of anything right. And the tone was set right out of the gate. Jerome Ford breaks off a 62-yard run. And then for some reason, they're like, let's put Dante Foreman in the game. And what does he do? He fumbles the ball at the 1-yard line. And then the defense comes on the field, boom, right out of the gate, offsides. And that helps the Bengals begin what ended up being a 99-yard touchdown drive to take the lead for good. So, that's kind of how the day went.
And with the extra point, they never looked back.
Yeah. I mean, and speaking of extra points, Dustin Hopkins apparently can't make those either. So,
Man. And doesn't it feel even worse that Cade York hits a career yarder against or a career longest field goal against you?
59 yards, but Cade did miss earlier in the day. So, he did go 50% on field goals, though, which.
You know, you figure because it's 14-0 and you're upset because it should really be probably 14-7 at the break. But instead, they kicked the field goal at the end. So now it's 17-0, and you're like, oh, boy, they got the ball starting the second half.
Well, then in the third quarter, the Browns, you know, made a little something, something of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a 17-6 game. But then you know, the Browns are in the red zone again. And then you get Jordan Akins called for holding. That takes the touchdown run from DTR off the board. And then you had Jordan Crash get called for, you know, a questionable holding, but it got called. Doesn't matter. Got called. And now all of a sudden you're pushed back to the 22-yard line. And he ends up throwing the interception in the end zone on third down after he was able to get them back inside the 10 at about the 7-yard line. But and for me, that's right there, the game was over. Like, as soon as he threw that pick, that was the ball game. Because had they been able to score, now it's a 17-12 or 17-13 game, or 17-14 if they, you know, opted to chase the points there and go for two, right? And you're right in it, despite just playing awful, especially there in the first half. But he threw the interception, and, you know, pretty much that was that. Then he tried to fit another into a tight window with David Njoku, and that gets picked off. It's much of the same. You know, there's not a whole lot of good things to talk about. I mean, other than Jerome Ford scoring his third touchdown of the season, Myles Garrett,
over
100 sacks now. And I got to read this because there's so many milestones that accompany this. He's the youngest player in NFL history to surpass 100 career sacks. Okay. He turns 29 later this week. Garrett tied Bruce Smith as the fourth fastest to that milestone in NFL history, at least since 82 when they started tracking the sacks. 115 games took. Garrett's the second player, 82, to reach 12 sacks in 5 straight seasons, joining Hall of Famer Lawrence Taylor. Garrett joined Reggie White, DeMarcus Ware, Jared Allen, and T.J. Watt to tally at least 100 sacks in his first 8 NFL seasons. So he's in some very elite company now. And go ahead and feel free to take the final 2 weeks of the season off now.
Yeah, you're good with him taking the last 2 weeks. Denzel too, right?
Yeah, it just doesn't matter. I mean, they're going to throw Dorian Thompson-Robinson back out there. So, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It just doesn't matter. And Miles is ready to get the hell out of here too. So
you think he's ready to leave town after this week? I couldn't tell. I was kind of like, does he really, really want to be here? Or is he's really kind of saying what he needs to say?
Yeah. He's seen enough. It's plain as day. They're not fixing the quarterback this off season. There's no, I don't think that there's a singular quarterback plan that they can put in front of Myles Garrett that's going to make him happy. He's not going to do what Joe Thomas did, and that's waste his entire career in Cleveland. Remember, Joe had an opportunity to accept the trade to the Denver Broncos, who, by the way, went on to win the Super Bowl that year. And he said, no, I want to stay in Cleveland and finish my career with the Browns. So I don't blame Miles at all. He won 0 games as a rookie in 2017. He has seen about 15 different starting quarterbacks for this franchise since he was drafted. Actually, I think it's way more than that. But, you know, actually, do you want me to count them real fast?
Well, I'm also just, you count because he still has 2 more years left on his contract, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's why this came up.
Okay.
Right. He has 2 more years, but he wants a pay raise in the offseason. And to get the pay raise, he needs to sign an extension. Okay. And get a signing bonus. Problem is, he don't want to do that here in Cleveland if this is what it's going to be. Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, it totally does.
That's the big motivator here. So let's see here.
I will. That 2027 season gives him $37 million as an unrestricted free agent and avoidable contract year.
I was right. It's 15 quarterbacks for Miles.
That's insane.
Yeah, it is. And you know, why would you stay here, Andy? Let me ask you that. Let me turn it around. After what you watch,
there's only one reason I would stay.
Okay.
They've got to make a move of quarterback. If they made a move of quarterback, I would think about it because the team really is like self-destruction, right? And they don't have a quarterback that can cover up the zits, right? The ugly zits are there, and you can't you can't cover those up. So all you can do is try to get rid of them. And then if your skin gets clear, then all of a sudden Miles is in. I don't know how they do it, though. That's the problem. There's just no way to cover it up.
Yeah. I don't think, again, Kirk Cousins is not the solution.
No, unless they come up with some nuclear powered Clearasil, we're in trouble.
Yeah, it's not Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Notice he didn't even bother to mention Deshaun Watson's name. And you know what I mean? And yeah. There's just.
Maybe Bailey Zappi is the answer.
Oh, good God. Well, I don't know. Do you want to see him now?
I kind of do. I do.
Yeah.
Because here's what I'm saying. Okay. So Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Daryl, to me, is the hybrid of the two other quarterbacks we have this year, right? Jameis Winston wants to throw picks into the end zone. We got that today. And Deshaun Watson wants to try to spin out like a tornado in the pocket when sometimes he doesn't. And guess what? We saw that today too. Now, am I being critical of a guy that's what? Has four career starts and he's had time to prep for.
And his career starts all look the same. He looks like crap.
Yeah, they all do look the same.
He can't read a defense to save his life, right?
Right.
He might know the playbook, but he can't read a defense.
Well, he also knows what the coach wants to hear too. So,
there's that element too. Yeah. I have no desire to see that kid play next week against Miami. But they're going to trot him out there. And the poor bastards are going to show up to that game at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to watch that. My apologies to you. At least Andy and I are paid to be there.
Oh, this is true. Well, it'll be a fun-filled week, right? Although I will say I didn't hear Kevin say this one's on me. Did you catch that? I didn't hear him say that this week.
Yeah, well, it's not on him. Like, what's he supposed to do at this point, right? They wanted to see DTR. And yes, you saw everything you needed to see. Joe Burrow threw three more touchdowns. I think it's the seventh straight week that he's done that, which is some sort of record.
Yep.
Jamar Chase was, the touchdown to Jamar was the icing on the cake there late in the game. Or, and you almost feel for Joe because he is leading the NFL in passing, leading the NFL in touchdowns. Jamar Chase is going to win the receiving triple crown. And, the Bengals right now, I think they got Denver next week with their season basically on the line to see if, week 18 will mean anything to them.
Right.
But like he's put up the best numbers of any quarterback in the league this year. And he's not even going to merit MVP conversation because his defense blows. But, I get Myles Garrett's frustration. I think it's well-founded. I think he has every right to say what he wants to say. Kevin Stefanski dodged the question post-game about, hey, did you have a talk with Miles about his comments? What's Kevin going to say? You're going to yell at Myles Garrett for coming out and saying this is a bunch of crap? That, the organization's a joke. We have no quarterback. Why am I going to waste my career here? I'm going to be 29 years old. I want to win. And if you guys aren't going to do it, get me the hell off this boat. I'm not going down with the Titanic like Joe Thomas did. And I have no problems with Myles Garrett doing that. Because he even said, my preference is to remain loyal and finish my career here. But I am not going to do it at the expense of the inability to compete. This is not a competitive team, Andy. They are 1-11. They've played 11 games this year where they have failed to score 19 points. They are 1-11 when scoring 18 or fewer points. And guess what? The one win was when they scored 18 points. Okay. They scored 6 on Sunday. And I wrote this in my post-game Brownie Bites. If they could ever, for the love of God, get competent quarterback play, they could win. But it has just been, and it's been this way since 99. It has just been a rash of incompetence at that position with a pause thanks to Derek Anderson in 2007.
Right.
And a pause thanks to Baker Mayfield and COVID in 2020. And Joe Flacco for 5 weeks last year. Otherwise, it has been complete incompetence since this franchise has come back at that position, both in play on the field and management of the position.
Brian Hoyer wasn't bad. I mean, he threw for 3,300 yards, too.
Yeah.
In 14, so.
And got benched for Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, because we had to get Johnny Manziel out on the field.
Well, they were selling shirts in the team shop.
All right, you know what? I'm done. I'm done. Done.
Managing.
Done. We'll come back during the week. We'll digest
Actually, you know what, Andy?
We'll take the week off?
Well, we're probably going to have to come back later in the week because Wednesday is Christmas. So let's.
Yeah, that's true.
Before we wrap up, let's take a moment to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, a safe and happy holiday season. And we will preview whatever cluster mess awaits us next Sunday in the home finale for the 2024 season. Thank freaking God when the Miami Dolphins come to town at 4:05. But we will not have a podcast for you on Christmas, which is Wednesday this week.
Well said, Evan O'Brien, our amazing producer. Thank you, Evan. We appreciate you. That'll do it. Browns lose in our special post-game pod that dropped just for you. Why don't we just pretend it's the three of us talking? It's just all of us and Evan, the four of us talking, and we're all just being good friends here, and we're going to lift each other up, and we're going to wait for New Year's Day to see what Ohio State can do against Oregon. 24-6 is your final from Cincinnati. It's always game day in Cleveland.